it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark scores with you on a Friday. And because it is Friday at 10 o'clock, we've got KMOX's own Scott Jagow. You hear him Total Information AM weekend. Must listen radio. And he is a real trooper this morning. In the studio, bandaged up.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yeah, I'm in a surgical sling, which I've never been in before. I had a rotator cuff repair and bicep surgery, and it's incredibly painful. It's hurting
me
right now.
What happened to you? Like, why did you? What did you?
What happened to me? That's a long story.
What was your injury?
No, seriously, I had some. I think there was some tendonitis in there because I could feel my shoulder. Like,
yeah,
something's wrong. But then in March. Remember that ice storm we had?
Yeah, you fell.
Really bad.
That's right.
And the stairs. That's right. And they have those gumballs. It was a combination of gumballs.
Gumballs.
And ice. And I slid down the stairs into a stone wall.
Oh.
And that tore my rotator cuff.
How many stairs did you slide down?
I don't know. There's probably about 10 or 12.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't go all the way down.
Damn,
it didn't matter. It didn't matter because I slammed into a wall. That's what tore the rotator cuff. So I did physical therapy over the summer, which is great. I'm a big fan of physical therapy. It works, strengthens your muscles around the problem, but it doesn't solve the problem.
That's right.
The only way to solve the problem is surgery, unfortunately. And I had it about 9 days ago, and I'm doing the best I can, but it's very painful. Everyone told me it would be. I didn't know the level and the consistency of the pain would be as bad as it is, but I just heard about somebody who's right now going through a neck surgery where they can't move for 3 months.
Oh.
So I'm like, perspective. I try not to complain about these kinds of things. I have a big pain tolerance, but it still is. That's what I'm saying. It's bad.
If this might make you feel better, my pinky hurts a little bit because I think I bent it backwards.
Oh, you poor thing.
I mean, it's fine, but it kind of hurts.
Yeah.
Does that help?
No, it does not help at all.
I was going to say.
Because we're all going through something, Scott.
I know. I was going to say, I have a new paper cut on my pinky.
I see that.
This is not helping at all.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you know how bad a paper cut has to be to see it from across the
table?
You
want me to get you something? I can get you.
All right, guys.
You want some Advil?
But no, how long is this surgery?
How long did it take?
Yeah.
About an hour and 15 minutes, probably.
Did you do it yourself?
No,
I did. I did it all by myself. Okay. I'm very proud of myself.
You did great.
But so you're out. It's outpatient.
Yeah,
surgery.
I was out the same day.
Yeah.
And these guys are amazing. I want to give a hat tip to the people who do this on a regular basis as a profession. I went to Mercy, and I have not had any issues with them. I think they're really good. You know, if you go on Google reviews or whatever, is there a hospital or healthcare facility that has more than 2.1 stars?
Right.
They all have bad reviews because something happened one time to somebody, and, you know, so I don't read those things.
Google reviews hospitals. Is that what people do?
Yeah. Yes.
For hospital. That's like the last place I'd go to.
Here's what I will say, though. To Scott's point about outpatient surgery, and I feel funny saying this because I've never had surgery, but just from my experience picking people up, helping people who have, outpatient surgery always feels like it really shouldn't be. They kind of send you home.
Yeah, they want you the hell out of there.
Well,
insurance wants you out of there.
And sometimes I've seen some people where I'm like, should I be picking you up right now? You look like you should stay here. Did it feel like that? Did you feel like, I shouldn't go home right now?
Well, obviously, you have to have a ride because I was under for an hour and a half or 2 hours. And, you know, my girlfriend took me home and it was fine. I didn't feel like I needed to stay in the hospital. I didn't want to be there any longer, honestly, because I got there at 12:30 and the surgery was supposed to take place at 2:15. But, you know, surgeries, they have four or five in a row and one of them took longer. So I sat in a hospital bed from 12:30 to 4:30 before I actually had the surgery. And the funny thing is, and again, this is like it's like an assembly line sort of. surgery for this guy, Dr. Robert Dorr. Hat tip to him as well. But anyway, they put you under like instantaneously. You get wheeled in to, and there's the, you know, the round hospital lights, and it's like a TV show or something. And they're you're on a comfortable gurney with the rails, and then they're like, we need to put you on this little table, which looks like one of those carts that they push around, in like a catering cart.
Yeah, the catering.
That's cart. That's what they put you on. And I was like, I'm going on that.
Yeah.
And they're like, yep. And then
that's where your body goes too.
As soon as they put, as soon as they put you on it,
your corpse. I mean,
the guy goes, have a nice sleep.
Oh,
that's it.
That's ominous.
Yeah, it's weird.
I have to tell you that one of my and the last time I had it happen, I think was wisdom teeth. But that feeling of like, I get very, very, very anxious about being put under.
Sure.
I just don't like it. And I feel like it's not going to work, but then it does.
Yeah.
They got to give me the gas first and then they do the injections or whatever. But I have like really bad anxiety about. And some people love it. Some people have no problem whatsoever. Yeah. Give me the drugs. Give
I know
me
people
the...
that look forward to colonoscopy because it's the Michael Jackson drugs.
So like the 5 seconds before you go under, nervous. That's what, you know, I don't even this time the drugs are so significant for a surgery.
Yeah.
You know, not like a procedure.
Yeah.
I have those. It's instant. I just don't even remember. They just say, have a nice sleep.
Yeah.
I woke up at 6 o'clock.
Oh, gosh.
I know we got to move on, but like this also blows my mind because I was older before I knew. It makes sense. But you know, they don't put women under for C-sections. It's just like they're totally awake, but it's local and they just hold a sheet up. And I'm like that. And I've had friends describe like, it's, you know, you can feel pressure, but that blows my mind.
That's why I don't complain about what I'm going through.
Well, but have you seen Amy's hangnail?
It's not a hangnail, it's a paper cut.
Oh, paper cut, yes. Yeah. So you were roaming St. Louis, and I got to hear the beginning of your segment on Total Information AM today. Was it the Arepa place?
Arepa? Careful with that one.
No. Is it
the amazing Arepa bar?
A-R-E-P-A.
Yes.
Is it not spelled Arepa? Or not pronounced Arepa?
I think it's pronounced Arepa.
Well, the E in...
That's how
in,
they...
The E in Spanish is like
she did
A.
not say Arepa.
I'm just telling. Okay.
Okay.
Whatever it is, that's the name of the place. It's real right. close to here.
Yeah, it's a walking distance.
Yeah.
Amy's over here. Like, what the hell is going on? It's really good. I actually got to eat a lot of the food. It's delicious. It's Venezuelan food, by the
awesome.
Way.
Awesome. I've been there once. It's really good.
You've been there. All right. Highly recommend it. They had this one dish where you dip it into two different sauces. One of them is like a cilantro garlic sauce, savory, and then the other one, straight up chocolate. So inside this little roll is cheese and guava.
Okay.
And you can do either the savory dip or the chocolate. Chocolate, cheese, and guava. What a, I couldn't believe it. I spilled it all over my shirt, but it was very good.
It sounds delicious.
When did you go?
This week.
Yeah, okay.
Where is it located?
It's like 2 blocks away 14th on 14th.
14th and Washington,
yeah. It's not on Washington. It's around the corner. Mm-hmm. The building that's on Washington. There's a burger place on Washington. It's around the corner from it. Really, really good.
You spoke with the owner.
I did.
Yeah.
The co-owner.
And got her story.
Yeah.
I was listening to Total Information AM, and I only heard half of it before I had to get out of the car.
She's Myra Pacheco is her name. Mm-hmm. And her sister, who has actually just had surgery, I believe. They run the place, and I highly recommend checking it out.
Nice.
Venezuelan food is very interesting, and it's tasty, and downtown.
Big fan of that place.
Good place for lunch.
You got three good things for us?
I'm going to have three good things. I'm still working on it.
Is one of them mainly, pain drugs that you're on?
It might be. Yeah, those are hit and miss. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't do a whole lot.
Do they give you something more than like just the over-the-counter stuff? Do they?
Yeah.
For how long do you get that?
I don't know. I'm running out, and the pain is still significant, so I'm going to check in with my doctor today.
Anesthesia is a big
one. I'm not worried about being addicted to it. I don't really like it, but it does help me sleep. That's the main thing. Sleeping is the crucial thing here. I've actually been able to sleep, and a lot of people don't have that ability.
Right.
And so that's been a blessing because without sleep right now, I would be like an axe murderer or something.
Oh, well, that's...
don't do that.
Yeah.
Not with one arm.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'd be a one-armed axe murderer.
It would be easy to spot, to identify. The sketch of you would be super easy.
Well, he had his arm up like this.
Yeah. He had one arm. He was missing an arm.
And but you like, find that man. And axe murder is like, well, you look like you were your own first victim. But do you have to wear a plastic bag while you shower?
No, I take the sling off for that.
Okay.
And dressing. And
because like with when people break their arms or have surgery, it's the little daily things that end up being a huge deal. And
exactly.
They're like, oh, hey, my gosh.
I would say as long as you can wipe, you're good. Because that's probably a whole other issue. That is the most.
The drugs cause constipation. A serious form of it, too.
You gotta use a stool softener.
Are you on one of the oxys?
I'm on all kinds. Yeah, I'm on one of the oxys.
Yeah, that's Codeine.
OxyClean?
No. Yes, Amy. OxyClean. That's what
anyway,
they give you.
I want to, before we get, we'll have to take a break. I'm going to have to take a break in a minute anyway. Because I'm about to pass out.
You look a little dizzy.
I'm just a little tired.
Are you okay?
I'm just tired.
Okay. Do we need to let you go?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I just want to talk about the Buffalo Bills because this weekend is opening weekend and I have my little squeezy ball.
Your little stress ball? In my sling.
Yeah.
It's a stress ball, but it's also good for my, you know, keeping my blood flowing.
Yeah.
So I have that in here, and I also, did you notice my hat?
Yes. It's a great hat.
It is, it was drawn. It was drawn by
you
Josh
need less
Allen.
Oxy.
I feel like this is going downhill pretty quickly.
Okay. Scott is deteriorating.
I am.
When's your next dose?
This is Scott. This is Scott on drugs.
Actually, I kind of like to have Scott on for the rest of the show and just see how long it takes for him to
go.
Bob is watching on Facebook. He does say prune juice works.
I do. I have.
For the scoots? Yes.
No, not for the scoots. For the lack of scoots.
Yeah, to help you get the scoots back.
I've been doing all kinds of stuff. Cherries, prune juice, all kinds of stuff.
Is it working?
Somewhat. But anyway, I don't want to talk about that anymore.
I think we should. How much time do you have?
My hat. Josh Allen drew it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Josh Allen drew this hat.
It's a Buffalo Bills logo, but it looks like a 5-year-old drew it, and it looks like a potato. We're calling it the potato hat. But I got one this weekend. I'm so excited. We're playing the Ravens Sunday night, and Scott, we will be at the Shamrock Pub. Matt says he might show up.
I'm going to be there. I'll be there. He's going to be there.
He's committed.
Scott, you are welcome. You are welcome for the hat recommendation.
Yes, thank you, Chris. I'm the one who told you about this.
It is true.
It's mass produced. He didn't just draw
a
hat. Yeah,
he drew
Scott.
Every hat.
He drew a logo, and the Buffalo Bills are now selling it.
And 100% looks like, I thought it was like a charity for a child. It's pretty rudimentary.
So I need Caleb Williams now to draw the Bears logo so that I can buy that hat.
Did they ask him to draw it from memory?
I don't know. I think he just drew it.
I like it.
It's adorable.
It's very, very cool.
It's something different.
Yeah.
It's a fun hat.
So who are they losing to this weekend? The Bills?
You don't have to take this.
Get the stress ball.
Baltimore. They're going to lose to Baltimore.
He's squeezing his stress ball right now because he's so mad at you.
I'm squeezing it.
He's got his little football stress ball that he's squeezing.
Yeah.
Scott, good luck this weekend.
Thanks, you too. You guys got the
Minnesota Vikings on Monday. Monday night football game.
Okay.
Yep.
So you get to lose in front of everybody.
Yeah, so
no, their quarterback sucks. Ours is God.
Oh boy.
Or not the God.
Take that. This is a little too far.
He's going to be better than Josh Allen, just so you know.
Oh, that's definitely
that's
not true.
Caleb
will end up being better than Josh Allen.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Sorry.
MVP, pal. Thank you.
He is the MVP.
Good
Allen
luck.
Is the MVP right
Good
now.
Luck.
All right.
Good
you
luck
too.
Sunday. We'll see you. Scott Jagow. Listen to Three Good Things, Roaming St. Louis, all that good stuff Sunday morning.
6:30, 9:30
on KMOX.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris and Amy on KMOX. Text us 314-436-7900. Texter says they woke up in the middle of a colonoscopy.
I can't, like any surgery,
waking up in the middle of it, but I don't know about that one. Being on your side and then...
No. That happened to me too.
You woke up in the middle of your...
Colonoscopy.
How much
Not
did
the
you
most
wake
recent
up?
One. It was awful. It was awful. They didn't give me enough drugs. And I woke up in the middle of it.
Wait, so what happened? You like started screaming?
No, I just was, you know, barely awake, but I...
Did you say something like, I'm awake now? Did they freak out?
I don't know.
And did they freak out?
No, they didn't freak out. Okay. They just kept going. And then
they didn't give you more anesthesia.
I think I went back to sleep at some point, but I woke up in the middle.
I'd love to know if a person wakes up in the middle of surgery, if everybody in the room's like, oh no, he's awake. Yeah. He's awake.
I got twilight. It's called like, it's where they barely put you out because I didn't want to go completely under for my wisdom teeth. And I started, I definitely started waking up because I was dreaming that like, it was like the most pressure I'd ever felt in my mouth, like someone was pulling your teeth out. I was dreaming that someone was pulling my teeth out, and I was dreaming that it hurt really bad.
Yuck.
So I was okay, but obviously I was on that edge because my dream was that someone was pulling my teeth and it hurt.
I remember
feeling pain. Yeah.
Before I go, I would like to acknowledge my girlfriend Liz because
I cannot imagine
doing this by yourself.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people out there that have to do it by themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they do it because just some of the simple things like reattaching the sling, just all these little things in your daily life that you take for granted. I don't take them for granted anymore because it's very difficult to do this by yourself.
Many of us lonely people are just not big babies, you know?
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Scott.
That's a good way to end it.
Yeah. You can hit them with your stress ball if you want.
I will.
Also, a message says with one arm, you may be more of a slasher than a murderer. So you're probably not going to be
able to. I'll be the slinger slasher.
Yeah, because you're one armed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck, man.
All right. Thanks.
And let us know. I'll get you some drugs.
Okay. Well, we live near each other now, so I'll just knock on your
walk
door.
Walk down the street.
Okay.
Oh, you know where to come.
Gosh. Right.
You know where to go.
All right. See you guys.
Buddy.
Well.
You all right?
I just ran into the microphone.
Ew.
I know, that's pretty gross. Good thing I...
You know who sits there?
I know.
Kevin.
But I Cloroxed it.
Yeah, you did Clorox
it. At any rate, I have a shout out. My Uncle Bob and my Uncle Vern.
Everybody's got an Uncle Bob.
They do.
Except for me. Everybody except... No, I have one. I have an Uncle Robert.
You forgot about your
Uncle
Bob?
Robert. No, I got one.
Well, Uncle Vern is 97 years old. 97. Uncle Bob is 91. I was hanging out with them last night at my parents' house, sitting by the bonfire. We had dinner, wonderful barbecue dinner. Sat up by the bonfire. They had their drinks. They drink this liqueur called B&B, just poured over ice.
B&B?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
The two letters. Well, one letter, twice. And cigars, sitting by the fire.
Okay.
They were a few drinks in. Remember, 97 and 91, it's 10 o'clock. I got to go. I got to go to bed. I got to wake up in the morning. I'm tired. I can't hang with Uncle Bob and Uncle Vern. Guess what else? Every Wednesday, they go golfing. And I said, even in this heat? And they said, yeah. Uncle Vern said he can handle the heat more than he can handle
you know
the cold.
And I bet they woke up before you. I bet they drank longer than you stayed awake.
Mm-hmm.
You went to bed. They woke up before you got up.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Because they were asking what time I had to get up.
Yeah.
And they acted like it was early. But, Uncle Bob and Uncle Vern... I would love to be so lucky as to be in their shape at 91 and 97.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome? And you know what else? They're hilarious. They're brutal. They're constantly like ribbing each other. And I was talking to Uncle Bob and he asked me if I still run my age for my birthday because I would run like through my 30s, I would run my age in miles. I said, well, no, I stopped. I'm like, I'm in my 40. I'm 42 now. And he goes, Amy. I said, yeah. He goes, 42?
Yeah, yeah. Die already, huh?
He's like, whoa.
What are you still hanging on for?
And then he joked. He's like, no, you're in your prime. But he's like, whoa, Amy, 42.
It's weird, though, how you get
they're so funny.
Like when you're in your 20s and you get to 30 and you're like, ugh. And then you get to 40 and you're like, 30 wasn't bad at all. Then you're getting close to 50 and you're like, 40 was fine. You know, just like each decade you progress.
You look back and you're like,
that wasn't that bad at all.
Yeah. Aunt Pat was there as well. And I will tell you, I was laughing so hard.
Who?
My Aunt Pat. Uncle Bob's wife. Yes. But I was laughing so hard. So Uncle Bob is the one that I guess like they had when his daughter, like years ago, decades ago, when his daughter was in high school, like the dads had to write a note. I don't know, I guess like what kind of man they would want to marry their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Bob, you know, all these other girls read these notes from their dad, how no man is good enough, blah, blah, blah. My daughter's amazing. And Uncle Bob wrote, come one, come all. Her bags are packed and there's a ladder by the window. She had to read that. And he's like, I can't believe I did that. It was really, really funny.
Amy Mark scores this weekend, tomorrow, in fact. City SC has one of their few remaining home games for the season. Season's almost over. It's not gone great. What was that move?
It was a little bit of ready to move ahead.
Are you relieved?
Well, listen.
How could you be relieved that soccer's about done for the year?
The soccer's not done for the year.
Well, for us it is.
What month is it?
It's September.
I thought soccer went to like December.
It goes to, no, it goes to like October. Goes into October.
It goes a long time. Here's what I'm saying. Because I love City, I'm excited for them to move forward.
Move forward, progress.
Yes.
Don't get left behind. Well, they will take on FC Dallas tomorrow at 8:30. And Dale Shilley, who is the City SC Academy director and analyst on Y98. Dale Shilley joins us next on KMOX.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And the boos ring out. He gets to his feet. But in the end, the final whistle does blow. Final score, Houston 3, St. Louis City 2.
Well, there have been better highlights. That one, though, from last weekend's game against Houston at Energizer Park, where City SC did lose 3-2. But here's the thing. There's another game. We've got another game. City SC hosts FC Dallas tomorrow at 8:30. And joining us now is Dale Shilley, St. Louis City SC Academy Director and Broadcaster on Y98. Dale, good to talk to you each week as we always do.
I'm sorry I didn't hear you. Cut out.
this is not going well.
That's just what happened at the game last week.
I'm sorry.
Did you drop the phone right before we started?
On purpose.
It's now trickling down to the broadcasters.
Yeah, as soon as I heard the highlight, I dropped the phone and left the room.
Dale threw it against the wall, absolutely livid, his mind.
He just said, I can't do this.
I can't do this anymore. Dale, well, here's what I did say. I turned it around at the end. I said, there's another game. There's another game
That's
tomorrow.
Right.
City hosts FC Dallas at 8:30.
And a game that is...
7:30. Sorry about that.
7:30. And a game that is winnable, just like we thought the Houston game was, where we're near each other in the table, and you think you've got the opportunity to get a result. And it's an important one, again, because any of these games where we're playing teams that are near us, and we've got our players back, and we're healthy... you would expect that we can compete with them and try to get the result. And you know, we had a stretch where we were playing against teams that were in the upper half of the standings, and we were playing well against them. And the Houston game just really was a dagger because we were down 3-0 at some point in the second half, and before we finally the fire lit and we created some chances and scored a couple goals. So we got to come out with a little more urgency here against FC Dallas.
So I know that a few weeks ago we talked about in a season in which it did not look at the time like they were going to the playoffs, and certainly that's even truer now. Once we asked you what are you playing for? What's the purpose of the remaining games they have? So how does that change, and what is it that here in the final month of the season, well, actually, they're going to play on the 18th of October, and that's the last game. So a little over a month worth of games to play. What is it they are playing for here?
Yeah, I think you can always say that guys are playing for their contract, and in a way, that's true. I think there's 14 players that are on the option year of their contract. So the club has some decisions to make as to whether they bring certain players back or not. So that's certainly part of it. You have Critch's future as the head coach for the team, which he needs results, and particularly results against teams that he should be getting, or the team should be getting results against. That would be Houston. That would be FC Dallas. Again, we've pointed over the course of the year that injuries were a big part of why we had the results that we had. And now that we've got everybody healthy again, you know, you would hope that, you know, you can get the points and the results that you want. So, you know, I think his future, the players' contracts, and then, you know, the fans and just to revitalize the energy that we've had in the stadium and in the community for the team is a big factor. I mean, I would think that would be pushing the players in a big way, because it was, and a lot of these players were there, most of them were, they know what it was like in year one and the beginnings of year two when things were going so well.
Dale, the end of that highlight we played with Joey Zanaboni on the Y98 broadcast, as Joey mentioned, you could hear the boos kind of ringing out at Energizer Park, and that feels somewhat unusual. Have there been, I'm trying to think back at different points of games throughout the season, is this really the first time the fans have kind of shown their disappointment, or has that been building a bit?
No, I think it's been there, but I would have to go back and look at the end of that clip and make sure what the context was. I think there was some antics. I think there were some antics from the Houston Dynamo players at the end to stall some of the timeout. And I think that and our fans have not been shy about sharing their feeling on an opposition player or a team when there's time wasting going on. So I have a feeling that was it, but certainly, with the number of players, the number of seats that have been open in games and whatnot, you can feel the discontent and the desire for the team to get better. But they've always been supportive. And I go back to the Nashville game that you know, we win the game and we scored a couple goals and took a 2-0 lead. I think it was a 3-0 lead at one point. It felt like it had that we'd never miss a step. So it's all there. It's the desire and the commitment and the energy from the fans is still there. They haven't lost the support, but you can certainly feel that they're yearning for more and they want to get back to the winning ways for sure.
How different do you think this roster is going to look next year?
Yeah, that's
it's pretty early.
That's an interesting. You know, with Lutz gone. You know, who was responsible for bringing a lot of the players in, and then there's a loyalty and an allegiance to those guys. Now that he's not here, you know, does that increase the likelihood that we'll see changes in the roster? I would think so. You know, I would think that we would see, you know, a number of the guys going. And look, there could be guys that want a new change themselves. They want a new atmosphere. They want to get someplace else in their career. So, you know, it could be a two-way street. It could be from our own choosing, and the players may, you know, have some desire to move as well if they are given that opportunity from the club.
What about from the continued search for a sporting director and maybe a coach, where City SC might be looking?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm not privy to those conversations. I do know that they're, you know, obviously in the middle of the search, and there's some interviewing and stuff going on that I hear behind the scenes, not behind the scenes, but maybe out on social media, just people talking. So I'm sure that's going on. And I would think that the order of business would be sporting director first, head coach second, with the sporting director having a big part in who the head coach is going to be. But yeah, I mean, that's a critical step that we need to get to, so that when we go to build out the roster, that the person or the people that are going to be responsible for the successes of the team next year are the ones putting the roster together.
So I know that we've brought this up quite a bit all season long, and the declaration from ownership that they were going to make the playoffs this year. This was the expectation. And then obviously they are falling well short of that. What, do you believe there is an appetite for the organization to really get aggressive, you know, as much as they can during the upcoming offseason so that they are a playoff team again next year?
I think for sure the taking a real hard look at the current roster and the construction of the roster, not just players and who the player is, but, you know, what sort of qualities and profiles did those players fill within the roster, and can we do a better job of mixing players together that complement each other to help make a stronger team, I think is absolutely a way that that the club will go. And, you know, whether that means increase in salaries or trying to find a high-profile player to fill a certain need, I'm not sure on that one. I think the idea of the team being more important than an individual player is still an important part of the fabric of the club. So I think, you know, meshing players together that fit, I think will probably be a big point of emphasis.
When you look around MLS, are there certain franchises that you look to or point to and say, you know, they do it right? This is a kind of a leader or a paradigm in how to run an organization, you know, much in the same way that the St. Louis Cardinals for so long mm-hmm. were an organization that people in Major League Baseball admired and talked about. Is there an MLS equivalent?
Yeah, I would say that there's different aspects that you would look at, like how to manage star players and a changing and evolving roster would be like an LAFC. Managing players from within and the build out of, you know, academy players into your first team and then slight movements within your roster would be Seattle. I think, you know, and every year both of those teams are hosting playoff games in the you know, at the end of the year, they finish in the top four of their divisions. If it's just strictly, you know, developing academy players and selling them and moving on, it'd be Dallas or Philadelphia Union. So there's different ways for teams to be successful. I would say probably Seattle would be the one that would be the most similar and would be the one that we would point to the most with how things have been run there and the one that we would want to emulate.
How did Cincinnati go from being a consistent last place finisher, you know, 2019, 2020, 2021, mm-hmm. and then suddenly they're in the top five the last few years?
Yeah. Well, the league's built on that, so it's not a difficult thing. I'll give you another example. Nashville a year ago were towards the bottom of the table in July when they hired their new coach. He came in, worked with the group, you know, worked with the coaches, made changes in both in the staff and the players, and now they're in the top three in the in their conference and fighting for a supporter shield as the team in the league with the most points. So the way the league is set, with the parity that it sets, the salary cap situations, it can change quickly. So I think Cincinnati is a great example of, you know, where they were, and when they made the decisions to make the changes that they did, they got it turned around immediately. And obviously players and Pat Noonan being, you know, being the head coach of St. Louis guy, the SMET graduate, you know, leading that charge. I think, you know, it can be done very easily and very quickly. Just a matter of leadership and making some decisions.
Because I'm not following it close enough and you're the soccer guy, I'm going to ask you a more a broad question here in the U.S. because it always sounds like from people who do watch the U.S. men's national team closely that they are a huge damn disappointment all the time. So are they still? And if they are, how are they going to fix it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Man, where do you want to start?
And I don't know. You tell me, because the World Cup's next year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, World Cup is next year. And by the way, last week you asked me, could you still get World Cup tickets? Yes, they're actually, you go in on like a bidding system starting the middle of this month, if I'm not mistaken.
They're,
yeah, you can get tickets. They haven't sold them yet. There's a bidding opportunity, a lottery type thing that you can enter here. So check online. Yeah, you know, look, I think
well, you're supposed to go get them for us.
I think the you know, how do you change it and how do you become more competitive? You know, it starts, I think, at the grassroots level. It starts with the academies that we're doing now within the MLS of trying to work with the top players in at the youth level, continue to give them more and more challenges to help raise the level. One of the things that's happening this year at the academy level is that the MLS academies are now forced to play up a year in their three oldest age groups. So instead of our 16-year-olds playing against other 16-year-olds, they're having to play against 17-year-olds from the other non-MLS academies. So playing up and giving them more challenges in the long term will, you know, theoretically help develop players, help provide another challenge to make them or help them grow further and more quickly. Otherwise, you know, it's a matter of just, again, finding the players that are out there and then putting coaches in place that can help bring the group together. And yeah, look, it's a big challenge. It's hard for us to get through CONCACAF right now, which is our regional area. We can't even win our Gold Cup, and then we've got to go and compete at the World Cup level. It's a big challenge, and there's not an easy answer.
Why don't you go do something about it? Why don't they ask you for help?
Yeah, I've been asking that question for years. Yeah. I don't understand it.
All right. I'll see who we can talk to.
It's a bummer because World Cup is so
it
much
is. It'd be fun. It'd be fun to be a real player in that, wouldn't it?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we've got talent, and we haven't put our best group on the field yet under the new coach, Pochettino. So let's see what happens when he pulls the guys together and he gets the support from all of the all the players for the World Cup and see what the talent looks like. I mean, it's not we're not far off from at least being able to compete in advance out of opening rounds and that kind of stuff. So let's just see what happens. I'm still in a wait and see to see where this particular group of players is at.
Yeah, my understanding is that Mauricio was a bit of a disappointment with my Tottenham Hotspur, and now he's doing the same thing for the men's national team. That's great.
Yeah. Good. Don't hold a grudge.
All right. Well, yeah. Dale, we love you. Thank you. Don't drop your phone in the toilet.
I will not. All right, see you later.
Dale Shilley. You can hear the call tomorrow. The game starts at 7:30. City SC hosting FC Dallas at Energizer Park. And that call will be on Y98. It'll be Dale Shilley with Joey Zanaboni. Did you see this? Next on KMOX.
Guess what the fifth fastest growing profession is? And you're never going to guess.
Fifth fastest growing, porta potty emptier.
That's disgusting. Travel agents.
Interesting.
I know.
Are they making a comeback or did they never leave?
So, according to Bloomberg, the number of people identifying as travel agents on LinkedIn, it surged more than 50%. In the last 3 years, making travel agent the fifth fastest growing job on the platform. Bloomberg reports that many of the new travel agents are former white collar workers who discovered that there's a lot of money to be made in booking hotels for retired people.
Oh, for retired people.
Well,
but a lot of people are using, you know, they use the travel apps.
Like, well, and that's the thing they said, but it's not just boomers who need help arranging bus tours of Rome. Apparently, millennials and Gen Zers, who are these Gen Zers with this kind of cash? But millennials and Gen Zers are increasingly booking travel through agents. They said it's just too much to sift through. People get overwhelmed and they'd rather have an agent book for them. kind of interesting because it feels like such an old-timey profession.
It does. It feels like my understanding was that a lot of people weren't using it, using travel agents. They just kind of go to Expedia or whatever it is, right? Amy, how much money do you have?
$7.
Okay. So you would not have been able to purchase last night one of the Darth Vader lightsabers that was used in The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. It's sold at an auction house for $3.7 million.
Awesome. That is awesome.
$3,654,000. That's how much it's. And by the way, did you know it's been 45 years since Empire Strikes Back?
The best of the Star Wars movies. It makes sense.
Is very good.
It makes sense, but that's still insane.
But this is one of the only remaining props that was out there and available, and it's sold for that much money.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and that you got to be careful with it. It's dangerous, though.
Well, it doesn't actually have a saber. You can't turn it on and then cut somebody in half.
Well, if you could, then $3 million is a good
deal. If you could, Scott Jagow could use it. Because he's got one arm and he needs to, you know, he's the axe murderer
now.
Well,
Luke had one arm for a while.
That's right. One hand. But they're really good with prosthetics in the future. It was a long time ago. It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, wasn't it?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.